Hey guys, this is Phil Wright from the Scandaleros and Alligator Wine.
Hi, I'm Jack Wright, his mini-me, and he finally let me out of the basement.
So Jack, now that you're out of the basement, what are you going to do on December 3rd?
I should probably jam out with all the rock stars in St. Louis at Philippalooza.
That's right, Philippalooza 11's coming up, right? Where are we having that?
Oh, the old Rock House, nice place.
Nice place, yeah, we like that place a lot. So, there's a lot of great musicians playing with us that day. Jake's Leg, the Funky Butt Brass Band, the Falling Fences, Al Holiday and the Eastside Rhythm Band, Mom's Kitchen.
They smell good.
The Scandaleros. Phil Wright and friends, who... Is that who you're playing with?
I believe so.
I think they were going to let you, finally. All right, Oaksteel and Lightning and the Cluster Pluck will be there as well. The tickets are $10. They're available through MetroTix right currently, or you can buy them the evening of at the door. This is a Schlafly-sponsored event. It'll be a full tap takeover. We'll have a silent auction and all kinds of other fun things going on. Music starts at 3 p.m., ends at 3 a.m., all day long, 12 hours of craziness and music. So we'll see you guys down there at the old Rock House. I'll speak for Jack, and when I say we look forward to hanging out with all you good folks.
Oh, yeah.
Now get back in your hole.
Oh, come on, man. You can't keep doing this to me.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at the Gaslight on the Hill in St. Louis, Missouri. Check it out at GaslightSTL.com for a full listing of upcoming events and book yourself a tour. Come over and check it out. It's a beautiful recording studio attached to a bar, and they all happen to share a wall with Cha Cha Chow, so you can come over and get some tacos, some cold drinks, watch one of your favorite bands record in the studio, and just have a great time. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram while you're at it. Like I said, full listing of events, GaslightSTL.com. Also wanted to tell you about my friends at Music Record Shop. They have a brand new location. They just moved over to Washington Avenue, right over there next to KDHX. So come visit the new location, new records every Friday, live in stores, a lot on the weekends. You can follow them also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com.
A podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hello.
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 Hey, we're the Coolies. Thanks for tuning in to Rock Paper Podcast.
Podcast.
Podcast, podcast, podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
She's got a bomber jacket, I look like Bob Saget. It's long drive home and I work at 10, but roll over, reach down and start the movie over again. Turtle Jacks mix and blue Powerade, starting to like the nest I made. Too bad I overthought it, I know you tried.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here. Rock Paper Podcast coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hey, real quick, I wanted to remind everybody, I do have this new Rock Paper Podcast playlist on Spotify. So if you're on Spotify, go check it out. There's a I've added a ton of music, 2 to 3 songs from about every guest that's been on the show. So if you want to discover more new music in town, go on there, check it out, and listen. So with all that out of the way, today's guest is the Coolies.
Oh, hey. Woo!
Welcome to the show, guys.
The soundbite.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sound clip.
But yeah, man, I'm pumped to be here. I'm excited to get to hang with you guys. We're back here at Sean's place, hanging out. This is where the Moon Bandits episode was recorded.
Yep. Yeah, I'm in too many bands.
Yeah.
And they all practice here, so my house is always trashed.
Right. That's Fort Dude.
Yeah.
Fort Dude. Yeah.
I've only been up here like 2 times. I'm just used to being in the basement.
Yeah, I normally don't allow the people in the band into the actual house. Yeah. They have to come in the back door. Yeah. Go straight to the basement.
Hygiene requirement.
Yeah.
Weekly shower.
Yeah, you have to shower at least once a week to come upstairs. Yeah.
Well, I guess before we get going too far, you guys want to all say hey and introduce yourselves to those listening?
Roll call. Let me go first.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, I'm Zach, and I play guitar and do singing, like co-singing, I guess.
Yeah.
So we all do, I guess.
Yeah. I'm Sean. I'm Sean Kenny. I'm one of the Seans.
One of the two Seans.
I'm the other Sean.
Yeah, I play bass and sing. Like Zach said, we all sing.
I'm Sean Torgoli. I play drums. I yell into the microphone a couple times. Show.
He sings at least one song every show.
Mine wasn't more informal. I didn't say my last name. Should we start over?
You have 2 first names.
I have all the first names.
Tricky. So do I. I have 2 first names.
Oh, yeah, you got all freakazoids.
Shut up.
You don't even go by your real name, though. You go by your not name.
Sean's my middle name, so it's still
that's
real.
That's true. So you have a first name and your middle name.
But I don't want to go by Siamak. Everybody's just going to be like, are you legally allowed to be here? That's what they'll say.
I just saw, like, I think it was a Onion article or something. One of those, and it was about how, like, when you find out your friend's been going by their middle name the whole time, like, I don't even know you anymore. And like,
I dated a girl one time for like 3 months, and she was like, "Sean's not your first name." And I was like, "What the fuck? You didn't know that?" And she was like, "Oh my god, I feel like I've been sleeping with a stranger."
In this band, they always call me Kenny.
Yeah,
and just to avoid confusion, and we were hanging out with other Sean's friends, and they had been calling me Kenny all night. And this friend of his comes up to me, and she's pretty loaded, and she goes, what's your last name? And I said, Kenny. She's, no, your last name, Kenny. And this went back and forth for probably about 3 minutes. I was like, my last name is Kenny. My first name is Sean. And, like, I could, like, see the glass shatter in her brain. She's like, but his name is Sean. Yeah, that's why they call me Kenny. So...
Originally, before we called our band the Coolies, we were thinking about naming our band Two Seans and a Zach.
Yeah.
Coolies, I think, is better, though.
Yeah,
I agree.
Where does Coolies come from? What is it?
It's the Coolie loach is a type of fish. I guess it's kind of more like an eel-looking thing. It's a loach. I don't know, but, like, Sean and I, drummer, this is going to be crazy now, but we grew up... being big aquarium hobbyists, and every single failed band attempt we've ever had has always been named after some sort of fish.
Or we've had like songs that have to do with aquariums or fish, something along those lines.
So a coolie loach is my favorite aquarium fish, and
we've both had them because they're so cool.
They're hard to keep though.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's what that is. It's just a type of fish. that we like. It's easier to pronounce than the other fish that we tried to name the band after.
Otto Kinkless. That's the original idea of a band name. We decided to go with the Coolies.
It's not spelled anything like it sounds at all. It's like a foot long, like scientific name. Coolies is a little bit easier. It's actually Kuhlii.
Yeah.
Is how the actual fish is spelled, so it's not even the correct, like...
We had to make it plural.
Yeah.
It's so funny, though, whenever I tell anybody the name of the band, like, oh, what's your band? Like, the Coolies, and they're like...
What is that?
You guys think you're that cool? I'm like, no, it's not like that, I swear.
Your dad told us to change the band name, because no one would ever remember it, because it's so weird,
He said people would misspell it on the Google.
Yeah.
On the Google.
So that's that. We are in Ghost Knife. No, that's named after a fish too. Ghost knife. Is that a catfish? No, that's an eel too.
No, it's like one of those weird own family fish.
Oh, okay.
It's got the undulated fin.
That's true.
But
we're getting to like a aquarium scientific podcast here.
If we are, I'm going to talk about the great apocalypse of 2015, where I lost all my coolie loaches. Because it was when Missouri flooded, and the water got all messed up.
Oh, yeah, and all of our waters got messed up, so every time we did a water change, we were just pouring poison into our fish tanks, and all of our fish died.
10 coolie loaches of mine died.
I only had one left. I had 5. Not only had one.
It's terrifying.
It's sad.
Yeah.
So.
We had a huge tank, like, I don't know, whatever, 100 gallons or whatever, something like that.
That's massive, yeah.
Something like that. And we had a bunch of... You know, it's all these kind of crazy different fish. And we went on vacation, and I guess power surged or whatever it was, or something along those lines. And I guess we didn't have a backup or whatever.
Yeah.
Something happened there. But anyway, come home, and all the fish are dead in the tank. And
that's so sad because it's like, I don't know, it's just relaxing. The fish, the aquarium hobby is so weird. It's like, the most relaxing, awesome thing until the day it turns into the worst,
most stressful thing.
I used to have nightmares when I was like 15 that my aquarium would explode. And I don't know. It's just like the worst feeling. It's like, oh, it's so great, but maybe one day.
Yeah, like 2 months ago, I got these new fish and I walked down and I was like, there's a little white spot on one of these fish. And I was like, I hope to God it's nothing. Came back like 2 days later, white spots were all over my fish and they were all disease ridden and I had to just treat the entire tank. It was terrible.
Yeah, it's...
It happens out of nowhere.
It's crazy. I had some sea monkeys one time.
I'm still here, guys. Yeah.
So Kenny wasn't into... He's not into the aquarium hobby, which is pretty funny because... The band kind of started when it was just me and Zach, and we were just jamming a little bit. We tried to make, like, a million bands, but they never took off or did anything.
Yeah.
And,
It's easier now that we have, like, cars and jobs.
Yeah,
and
some money, a little bit.
God, it's so expensive.
And we're all done with school now.
Yeah, that's true.
And then we were just practicing, and I was like, we need to get a bassist. And then Zach said he knew this guy named Kenny... He was really into Jesus. So I was like, all right, well, like, let's just give him a call. We'll see how it works.
It was a Facebook status.
Yeah. Zach put something on Facebook like, hey, we're looking for to do like a pop punk, like Lillington and Apers kind of thing. And I was like, oh, wow. I hadn't even been playing bass for a year at that point. I played drum set and a little bit of acoustic guitar, just enough to like, just like write songs and, you know, like Wonderwall and stuff like that. And then I was like, oh, dude, I really want to play bass in a punk band. And I knew Zach from different shows just around St. Louis because I'm in three bands and Zach...
I was just playing bass myself in the Mondales at the time.
Yeah, and we just played shows together and then we were friends on Facebook and then we saw each other at shows all the time because we both go to shows by ourselves.
Yeah.
So we're like, hey, you're here by yourself? Yeah, I'm here by yourself.
It's a little less awkward now.
Yeah. It's like, oh... You like Doctor Who? I like Doctor Who. it just kind of turned into like we just kind of became buddies, and then you put on Facebook, he's looking for a bass player, and
I can maybe do that. Yeah. I switch over. Bass is kind of like guitar.
Yeah. Well, I've been playing bass in like church and stuff like that for maybe a year, and then it just seemed like the next logical step.
That's the same thing I did when I saw the Mondales open for what's that? Murder Burgers. Firebird. And I'm like, hey, you guys only have one guitar player. Do you want a second guitar player? Because I was trying to look for a band. And they're like, no, but we want to kick our bass player out. You know how to play bass? I'm like, no, but I could get one. So I went out and bought, like, just used bass. And I'm like, we've got a show in 3 weeks. And you learn these 12 songs and the fastest things ever. I'm like, oh. So I came home every day. I was like, they're trying to, like, play these songs. And it was, like, the craziest, but...
Yeah,
I don't know. When you have that motivation, it's so easy, much easier to learn stuff than when you just have like no set goal, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
Because then I'm like, yeah, I'll just do it tomorrow, or you know, I'll just dick around here and you know, just like play some stuff. But when you have that fire under your ass, it's like, I gotta learn this right now, or you know, I can go out tonight and hang out with somebody, or like sit here and play this stupid song for like the 20th time. You know, my fingers hurt really bad.
And Kenny let me borrow his bass. I tried so hard to learn. I learned how to play Crazy Train, and that's all she wrote. That's all. As far as my bass career went.
One song.
Yeah, for sure. So what was your question again? Oh. You derailed the crap out of that.
No, that's what the stuff's good for, man. It's nice to, nice to kind of get these stories of how the band comes together and everything. And
yeah, it was kind of cool. I mean, it's such a relief, though, because been trying to get bands together for... I mean, we were joking about it before, about all the failed bands, but, man, holy crap.
I've never played a show before until I joined this band. This is, like, the first show I ever played was the Coolies' first show.
This is the first one...
Rest in peace, Lemons.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
First one, playing guitar and singing at the same time, that was difficult, and it still really is for me, but, like... It's hard, man. I don't know how to do that kind of stuff.
It's fun now. Now I'm just like headbanging and smashing my cymbals all over the place. It's great.
So that what was 2014? You said
technically it was the end of 2013 for me and Sean.
Yeah,
and
we started jamming very end of 2013.
It was the blues. We were watching the blues at a bar.
Yeah,
and then we're like, we need to do this for real. No exceptions this time.
Yeah. And then we played for like a month. We wrote a couple songs. Then we contacted Kenny.
Yeah.
Pretty much right at the beginning of 2014.
It was like
the band actually took off.
Was it like February?
We
came over to Sean's house and we played in his basement a couple times. We're like, man, this actually like could work maybe.
Yeah.
We rushed out that first album.
Yeah.
It was how long?
Yeah. It came out by the... We had the whole thing written by the end of the year.
It was like 10 months.
Well, I started practicing with you guys in February, and then we recorded it in, like...
The summer?
Yeah, in, like, June.
Yeah.
Yeah, we recorded it in June, and then, you know, it took, you know, a while to get it back, and then we just kind of...
Get the money to put on
the
and stuff like that.
Yeah, because I was just part-time, and Zach... Like, me and Zach didn't like, have any money to put it out.
I work full time, but it's like, I got rent, you know? It's
It's fucking grind. And then we finally got it out, that first record. Like, we did it, recorded the whole thing in, like, what, two days?
It was 2 days.
It's like,
drums,
or like a day
drums,
and a half.
Yeah, yeah, drums one day, everything else is like
vocals, guitar, and bass in the next.
Yeah, and then we cranked that sucker out. Then, props to Gabe Usery at Encapsulated Studios for coaching us through that, because
he tolerated a lot.
Yeah, because he had never been in a band before.
I
had never played bass on anything before. Zach had never sang.
Sang, but not in like a weird metal voice.
I had never recorded
it. I had no clue what we were doing.
Yeah, and he coached us through it and helped us, and you know. By some grace of God and Gabe, that record, it sounds really good.
It sounds way better than we
play. Yeah, better than we thought, than we were playing live at the time.
Yeah, it was a weird miracle of recording. Looking back on it now, because, man, like, I don't know how it was even possible.
If you compare the first album to the newest album, it's eons. The second album is eons better in my eyes. It's like, we practiced our asses off.
Yeah, but when we decided that we were going to record... a second album, like, we all sat down together and we decided, like, we're gonna seriously take our time with this, like,
we went back to the studio a couple times.
We did, because we booked 3 days with Gabe, then we did a whole day of drums, we did a whole day of guitar and bass, and then we did a whole day of like vocals and stuff, and then we ended up going back another day. We just did a half day to like fix stuff, like, we decided, like, we're gonna make this sound as best as we could, and we practiced our asses off.
Yeah,
on
I would call.
Record.
I'd call them up and like the week before, like, "What are you doing?" Like, practicing.
Well, I think I didn't think there was a possibility that we would ever record a second album, to be honest. Yeah. Like, when we were recording that first one, it was like...
Once you get used to so many failures.
Well, I mean, yeah, for real, because we're all so busy, and it's like, I didn't think that a whole year later we'd be able to, like, stick it out, you know, and write another 13-something songs or whatever. We had a couple of them done already, but, like, man, that I was so surprised that this time I was like, okay, we can actually, like, relax.
Yeah.
And work on it, because I think that it's stable enough that, like, I don't have to worry about us not being a band in, like, a couple months, you know what I mean? Because, like, yeah. People are so flaky when you try to put bands together.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
At least we all show up to practice 80% of the time.
Yeah.
You know? Like, when we cancel, it's at least, like, unanimous decision, or, like, yeah. We give each other heads up or whatever.
Yeah, like, one person's, like, out of town. There's nothing.
Well, there's only three of us.
That's true.
So it's, like, it's not, like we gotta, like, coordinate, like, five dudes in a horn section or something.
I don't get how those people practice. I watch some. I see some bands that have like eight members, and I'm like, how do you guys get the time?
Sure,
it's crazy.
Yeah,
that's rough, man.
My buddy Al Holiday in town. He's got a 10-piece band.
Do they practice in like sections?
Yeah, usually he's the leader of the band, and then like some he'll come in with like the rhythm section, and then he'll come in with the horn section, and they do. So they all kind of practice individually, but I think they do rehearsals where they. Full band before big shows.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah,
like the core band, and then like before the actual shows, they bring in the rest of them
right.
And rehearse.
But yeah,
it's hard.
10 people in his band now is pretty. It's pretty crazy to see them all on stage and.
Yeah.
But it's fun, man. It's great music. It's kind of that funk and soul and all that and.
So it's like Slipknot.
That's what they say.
The other thing that's been really good for us is. We're all adults now, so like we don't live
speak for yourself.
We don't like legally like none of us live with our parents.
Yeah, you won't.
Not anymore.
I
so like
you used to play in your base or your
well,
garage.
We, like
or
I was just about
garage.
I was about to tell the story. We had like
all right, I'll show
we've
you.
Been practicing. We've been practicing out at other Sean's house, and I said, and the weather started changing, and I said, because when I was in high school and college, my band's always practiced in my parents' garage, and my parents didn't care, and I was living with my parents at the time. I was like, well, why don't you guys come over? To my house, and we'll have like some more room, and we can be a lot louder.
Oh, yeah, we were super cramped down there.
Yeah,
in Sean's basement.
Yeah, and we spread out in the garage, and one day we put the garage door up, and we had a lot of songs that were like
said fuck one too many times.
Yeah, we said fuck and shit too many times, and then somebody called the cops, and like, we're all like in our like late 20s,
yeah.
And we're getting the cops called on us at band practice.
Mr. Kenny, come out to save the day.
And then my dad, you know, came out, like, some guy, like, came by and, like, yelled at us, and my dad told, was like, pretty much told him, like, fuck off, I'm not telling him to quit.
Yeah, that's
pretty and he came, and then my dad came back and scolded us.
Yeah.
Like we were like 14.
We had to play with the garage door shut from then on.
Yeah.
It was like 100 degrees and we were just
melting
in this garage and melting to death.
Yeah. And then finally
or with gloves on in the when it was cold.
Yeah.
With gloves. Like fingerless gloves or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And then I got this house. I got Fort Dude.
And that's a big I think that's another thing that kept the band together since from the first record to second record is you having this place and us having a place to practice where we can keep gear here.
Yeah.
The ritual time also. Like I feel like every band has to have like Sunday, this time, that's practice, no exceptions.
Sunday is at 1 o'clock for like the past like year straight.
And like that's because I just know like anytime anybody asks me to do anything, I'm like, nope, band practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So otherwise if we were trying to do it all like what about Wednesday? No, Thursday, Friday, I would never practice.
Yeah.
Like, worse.
Well we're all like we're all friends with each other too.
Sure,
because they were friends in high school and they've been friends for years.
We've been friends since he was my first friend ever since I moved up here in sixth grade.
Yeah,
we rode the same bus.
We used to beat the crap out of each other on the bus, and our bus driver thought it was the funniest thing in the world.
She had that big Metallica poster.
I know. And we would always talk about music to our bus driver, and we'd like jump over seats and like tackle each other. So
Celeste.
Yeah, she was the coolest.
That's funny.
And then I showed up walking into. Usually we've been friends for like 15 years and I've been in bands like that before where it's just kind of like yeah everybody here is friends and they needed somebody to play so they asked me to do it and like we're not like buddies and that kind of sucks but like there for a while it was kind of like yeah okay I'm gonna go home now band practice is over all right shows okay I'm gonna go hang out with my friends now
right.
But like this band like we're all nerdy and we're all dorks but like like I'm a dork in a different way that they're dorks. Like they're like
he likes play. Star Trek. I like Star Wars.
Yeah. I like them both. Star Wars is for nerds. Star Trek is for smart nerds.
Yeah, right.
But they're like they're both into like magic and Magic the Gathering.
I play the magic cards. Yeah.
And Pokemon and aquariums. And I'm just like, I'm into a lot of weird crap too.
Yeah.
And we're all friends with each other, and we hang out outside of band practice too,
which is right. Always fun.
Which hasn't always been the case with a lot of bands I've been in.
It makes it harder when I've been in a couple bands too, where like it was just like I need to be in a band, otherwise I like drive myself crazy trying to like put bands together. So I like get in bands with some guys, and it's like
yeah.
too many. Compromises like music wise, you know, and it's just like this yeah. isn't really what I want to do, but at least it's doing something.
Yeah,
where I feel like here we're kind of always on the same page with stuff. Yeah. I remember when we started the band, Sean was like, "I don't want to sing." I'm like, "You got to, otherwise this isn't going to work." Because all three of us have to feel like we're building it like together, yeah. or you won't care. From my experience, like the drummer, I've been in a couple bands where like the drummer is like, oh yeah, I don't feel like going to practice today because he's going to show up and do the same exact things, you know, just listen to the other guys write the songs. And Sean or Kenny and I have both been in bands too where we haven't like done any of the writing, and it's still fun, but it's not like
yeah.
it's something you really look forward to or really work on as much because yeah. it's like, hey, I didn't really, I'm learning this more so than like, it's almost like you're covering somebody else's stuff.
Yeah.
Instead of like, oh, I wrote this song, so I'm trying to make it as good as possible because if it sucks, mm-hmm. then it's my fault type of thing, right. you know?
Yeah.
So you guys write a lot of the lyrics too together, or do you guys...
it's mostly by ourselves. Sometimes yeah. it'll change a little bit. Like, people will help each other if something's kind of weird or doesn't
like
work.
We get stuck. Like, a lot of times what I'll do is I'll try to get a song as far as I can get it by myself. Sometimes like I have like I'll show up and I'm like when we were writing the second record, more so with the first one, but I'll show up with the song and be like, okay, I wrote it, this is what I want, I got all the lyrics, I got it all planned out, and then you know we'll work out the bugs and the kinks and then put the song out. But there's a song on this second record, Sunburn, where I had written the song and I had an idea in my head of what I wanted, and then my roommate at the time, he was like, well, why don't you try doing this? This will make it sound better. So I completely reworked the chorus. But then I had, like I wanted it to sound like a NoFX, like, kind of, and, like, all these, like, different changes. And then I brought it to practice to show the rest of the band. And then it started at one point, and it just ended somewhere completely different.
Yeah,
it's better. Like, you know, like I like
it's one of the softest songs on the record.
Yeah, yeah, it's the softest, it's the slowest, and it's the most emotional song on
the
record. It's definitely the saddest.
Well, that's the thing though, because I feel like we wrote some. There was a couple songs in the first record that we did actually write the lyrics together, and I feel like mm-hmm. it's almost better if one person writes most of the lyrics by themselves, so
yeah.
it's like personal. And
yeah.
then, like music wise, it's cool for us all to get together and
yeah.
like. Do that together, because music, you know, is the band, but the mm-hmm. lyrics are kind of each person that's singing it on the second record release wrote them
yeah.
pretty much exclusively themselves. So that's
yeah.
kind of like,
yeah,
you know, everything kind of sounds like it's joking, which is kind of our thing, but like they are personal, real stuff that we're singing about.
Yeah.
So that's cool. That's kind of what I like yeah. about a lot of bands, like Off With Their Heads and stuff like that. Like the lyrics kind of, they're really kind of depressing, but it kind of sounds like it's not, you know what I mean?
I really think the key to our mass success and fame has been like that we all like are really we take criticism well. So like there's always, anytime anybody brings a song, we're always like, maybe you want to change this lyric to this, and it's like, okay, or no, I'm not feeling it. Like, no one ever gets butthurt about like, why are you trying to change my shit? Why are you trying to change my song?
Yeah. I think it's only happened like twice total in the past couple of years where we actually like got mad at
yeah.
each other.
There was that time I kicked in the amp. That was a fun day.
Looking back, that was hilarious.
There was a lot of shit going on in my life at that point that like it just
you
kind
were
of all
mad and jealous.
Yeah, I wasn't even mad at anybody in the band,
yeah.
you know, but. You know, it was.
I was like, oh, Sean and I just looked at each other and we did the emoticon, like, O face.
Yeah, we're like,
oh.
Because we were, like, literally in the middle of playing. And we like I had these old roommates and I had kicked them out and you know it was a whole big ugly thing, and they had a PA and I had kind of helped pay for the PA, but I just wanted them out of my house so bad I just let them take the PA. So that left us without a PA to practice with. So we just went back to what we used to do, which was just, you know, an old Line 6 little practice guitar amp, beginner guitar amp, and we just, with an adapter, just plugged the microphone into it. And it is just squealing and just this piercing, piercing noise.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to ignore it, and I'm trying to, like, move the microphone around so it can quit squealing. And it's just...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Kicks the shit out of his amp.
Yeah, and I just turn, and I just kick the... fucking shit, I just kick it over, and then like everybody just kind of stops playing, and it's like, and then I just go ape shit, and I just stomped in the cone on this amp.
Yeah, it was done.
It was done.
That was the last practice with that amp before.
Yeah, and then I was able to get a borrow a PA from a friend of mine.
That scene in Office Space.
It was a lot scarier than that, because I don't think they knew like how to take it.
We should have played like a Gangster's Paradise in the background or something while he's doing it.
Well, like, and then he like other Sean, he like freaked out and like screamed at me, and you're like, "You're being immature. This is some middle school shit. This is like you're smashing your skateboard. Grow up."
And I'm just standing there like, "Dudes, I just want to play some music."
That was the one time I've ever gotten like mad and flipped out in this band, but. I have been in bands where I was one of my bands in high school. I got really super mad at the guitar player, and I stood up and I flipped the drum set over, and he was I'm much less of a hothead now. Back then,
good thing I didn't know you back then.
Say what?
Good thing I didn't know you back then.
Yeah.
But overall, though, it's been pretty sweet.
Yeah. Well, we mentioned the record, the second record, the sequel no one asked for, now available on thecoolies.bandcamp.com in digital form, and you can order a physical copy from you guys.
Yeah, if you want, just message us like on Facebook or tell us in person or whatever, message us the emails.
I'm still working out the kinks on Instagram, so I'll figure out how to work that.
We're learning how to Instagram. But I'll just mail it to whoever wants it for just straight up $10 on like PayPal or whatever. And
yeah.
I got a bunch of those little CD-sized mailing bubble wrap thingies ready to go. So if anybody wants it, just mail it to you for sure. But the digital is up there. It's slightly cheaper if you want it digital and stuff like that too.
And of course... you can come pick up a physical copy at the Way Out Club, December 10th, for the CD release party.
Yeah, it's a Saturday, so you don't have to worry about working and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because all of us have jobs in the morning, Monday through Friday, so it's like, it has to be Saturday. Right. So, yeah, I mean, we're excited to play it. It's going to be cool to play the whole thing front to back.
Yeah, we're going to play the whole thing front to back, and then...
maybe a couple covers.
A couple covers, and then at least one song off the first record.
Yeah. It'll be a good time.
Yeah.
We got special guest Murphy and the Death Rays.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Captain D and the Long Johns.
Yep.
And the Public.
Yeah.
So we're going to be a rock and roll show.
Good time.
Yep. It's going to...
It is 18. It's 18 plus show.
Yeah.
It's, if you're between 18 and 21, there's a $3 surcharge.
So it'd be $10 if you're under 21, and $7 if you're
over 21.
Yeah. So that's not pretty bad. Not bad, apparently. Yeah.
Maybe we could eat some protein that week if we after the show.
What are you talking about? That sounds gross.
Because you gotta go grocery shopping.
What in the world?
Because. That's how we make money.
Oh, okay. I see what he's going there.
It all makes sense.
That didn't make any sense. Anyway.
So Sunburn is like at the end where you guys are like singing together, right? The doo-doo-doo, or like you're making the... Is that the end of Sunburn, or is that... I'm sorry, I was listening to it, and there's one you guys were like all like doing vocal stuff like that, like...
The end of Sunburn is the one where Kenny screams at the top of his lungs.
Yeah, you're right, yeah. Maybe it was, I don't know, maybe it was Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, I think it was it Boyfriend versus Aquarium, where we're all, like, clapping and cheering, and we're all, like,
I don't know. Woo. I'm bad about, like, I listen to it, but then, like, I don't always check the names.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm grooving and I'm, like, having fun with it, but then, like, I forget to, like, which names are... which songs were named which ones, but I don't know, I'm bad about that describing it, but like you guys were like doing like some, you know, like, you know, like the oohs and ahs kind of thing or whatever, yeah. And like it was I don't know, it was fun for me. It was in one of these songs, I forget, I'll think of it.
Okay, cool.
But anyway, I do remember, yeah, so Sunburn, you're screaming that you're not gonna ever get it right and stuff, like,
yeah,
right,
about being a disappointment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I start that song live, everybody, the song's about being a colossal disappointment.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I write my songs are either, I think this is true of all of us, my songs are either like super goofy, just stupid.
Right.
Or they're just really serious, or like about like somebody dying, or, you know?
Yeah.
Feeling like you're always going to be like a piece of shit.
Polar opposite emotion stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it that Zach, was it your mom or your dad that said, like, what is it? All these sad songs are sung by Kenny.
Yeah. So. It's like all the super depressing ones.
Yeah, I'm definitely, we always joke that Torgoli is always like happy and in a good mood, and Zach's always is kind of like a little bit of a worry wart, and then I'm just always just pissed, like for no reason. I'm just always mad.
Yeah, the full scale emotions.
Yeah. I did like legalize Cementland.
Oh, Cementland, yeah.
Cementland, not Cementland.
Cementland.
Oh God, that sounds terrible.
Yeah,
that's.
That song is so goofy and poppy.
Right, that's what it was just fun. Like you definitely had a lot of that pop going on there.
Yeah.
Was,
yeah.
Dancey kind of, you know, getting...
There is a conspiracy now. Bob Casilia is the guy who made the City Museum, and he died while he was making Cementland, and his bulldozer fell off. But now they've gone back, and they're reinvestigating, and they're saying that there was a ton of, like, blood in the thing, in his bulldozer that fell over, and they're thinking it may have been a setup, and, like, he didn't actually die... by an accident.
Huh.
It's crazy.
Maybe I should write a sequel.
Yeah.
Cementland Part 2.
That's true.
Yeah.
Forensic Files.
Yeah, Forensic Files episode.
That'd be sweet.
Cement Conspiracy.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's so I'm guessing you guys pretty heavily influenced by a lot of that just punk music growing up and stuff. And
yeah, it's weird. I mean, we all have like different music tastes, but they mm-hmm. kind of go over overlap at points.
Yeah.
So it's like this weird like pie chart of some things that are like the same, and some things are different, and then but there's the polar opposites each one of us have that probably the other two don't like at all.
Yeah.
So it's That's like true. Some stuff we come in here. I mean, we've had songs that sound so weird that don't sound anything like. Well, we can't do this probably, so we have to like change it a whole bunch.
Yeah.
You know. The
yeah.
pumpkin eater and stuff like
yeah,
that that didn't work out.
Don't make the cut.
But I mean, I personally before listening to punk rock, it was mostly like oldies. I grew up listening to 103.3 oldies station,
yeah.
You know, and Motown hits, and which is pop too, but without the punk part,
sure.
I guess, you know. So it's like then it went into metal, and then it went into rock and roll, and it always just kind of comes back to the for me like early rock stuff. Like 70s, 80s rock and roll, like garage rock, which I guess like stuff like Legalize the Maitland has a lot of the clapping and like the exclamations, like the oohs and ahs and the weird like woohoos and stuff
right.
like that was all like old rock and roll stuff, I guess, which is kind of what I wanted the songs we were writing this time to go more towards, like the fun rock and roll, like
yeah.
still rebellious sounding, but... Not so much more punk, but more like rock and punk and roll, but not like
yeah.
punk and roll like stand up bass stuff. But
oh
like,
yeah, not rockabilly, but
yeah,
I get what you're saying.
But
like Hanson,
yeah, like early Hanson Christmas album acoustic stuff.
Yeah, that's what we were going for.
Nailed it.
Yeah,
dude, I grew up mostly listening to my mom and my dad's records. You know, like they had.
Oh
a,
yeah, me too.
Yeah, I remember we had a vinyl. Old like you know the old school like stereo where it's like in like the glass case, you know, and like the big huge CD changer, you know. Then there was the thing for the radio and the turntable was on top, and I used to sit there and I'd listen. And my dad was always super into stuff like the Eagles and the Allman Brothers, and then my mom listened to, you know, Zeppelin, you know, and Black Sabbath,
yeah,
you know, and stuff like that. And then also like I was one of those kids that spent a lot of time with their grandparents, and I used to just sit with my grandpa, listen to Conway Twitty, like play with my army men. So there's like and watch John Wayne movies and listen to Conway Twitty with my grandpa.
My dad had the Conway Twitty box set in the truck, and we would listen to a lot of Conway Twitty in his truck, and I'd sing along to these. I'd sing along with these songs and stuff. Like they're all like great. But then, like, now, like, and as an adult, like, revisiting some of that stuff and listening, I'm like, man, these are some filthy songs. Like, they're like,
I know, right?
Really dirty, like, if you listen to, like, if, you know, it's just like, but it's okay because it's Conway singing them. It's like, you know, it's funny how many of those songs, I'm like, geez, man, so you're singing about this stuff? And, like, you know.
Yeah. My musical background is 100% rap and rock. Like, first album, Sugar Ray Floored.
Yeah.
Second album, Bone Thugs and Harmony. That's pretty much the summary of my entire musical outlook.
Yeah, mom's kind of like that too. It was like, first album was the Offspring Americana, then the Rob Zombie Hillbilly Deluxe, and then like Eminem, Slim Shady LP, and then like TLC and stuff like that, you know, listening to pop music and not letting anybody know about it, kind of hiding it away, you know.
My first show ever was Ricky Martin.
Yeah.
And then I also went to see Metallica. That was like my second one.
I saw Eminem at Mississippi Nights, I think, when I was 15. And there's a little club. It was so weird. That's like they had a little under 18 section, like, in the back. So I was like in this little corner, like, watching Eminem. It was like, this is kind of weird. That place is closed down, right?
Isn't they tore it down when they built the casino?
Yeah.
Oh,
that sucks.
Yeah.
I just tweeted at Mark McGrath the other day, and he tweeted back to me, so I thought that was pretty cool.
What? That's cool.
Yeah.
That guy's like a big... He's almost more known now for his TV personality stuff than he is for Sugar Ray.
Sure.
I doubt anybody under the 18, probably under 18 years old knows who Sugar Ray is, I would think, now.
Was awesome.
When was the last time they put out any music?
Oh, forever. They are going on tour, I think.
Like Third Headline or something, probably.
They've been doing that Summerland tour with, like, Everclear and...
Yeah, it's, like, all, like, the old...
Lit and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
But he does a show on Sirius XM, 90s on 9, called The 120, and he puts together every week some songs that have a common theme, and... So he said, tweet at him and tell him what you think of the show. So I did, and he, I just thought it was cool that he actually responded back and stuff. So, but yeah, he's
on Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
The new Scooby-Doo?
They're just one of my, like, what I do love. I mean, obviously there was a lot of corny pop stuff and a lot of that later Sugar Ray stuff, but I thought was great is they knew they sold out for the money and stuff. Like, Floored was very heavy. It was a real rock record.
Yeah.
And then they put out Fly, and that was the hit. And then they're like, so they named the next record 1459, knowing that their 15 minutes of fame was almost up, and they made an all like pop record that all sounded like Fly. And
it's a way to go.
Yeah,
well, I never even knew that's why it was called 1459.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure you said it somewhere, but I'm pretty sure that's why they knew the time was about up. So,
I mean, we've already decided. We've had this discussion that if we ever had the chance to do something like that, we're definitely doing it.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
we're selling out. We're like, if anybody says ask us to sell out, we are all in.
Yes. We'll just make enough money, and then like on the side, we'll. Wear masks or something and do something cool.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not let anybody know about it.
Well, there's a...
Me for Vendetta mask.
Yeah.
Well, Green Day did Foxborough Hot Tubes or something like that. They came out and they did like a rockabilly record or some shit.
Yeah, Billy did what, something with, what's her name, Nora Jones or whatever, right? Didn't he do a record with her or something?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it was her. I think it was Nora.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as there's nothing in the contract that says we can't record anything else or something like that.
Yeah. It was just like, I mean, it's just, completely other end of the spectrum of Green Day stuff. So,
yeah.
Those are guys I like, Here Come the Mummies. They're in, like a 9-piece funk band.
Yeah, yeah.
And they come out, they have full mummy outfits. And
that's awesome.
And they completely stay in character, so you're like, you have no idea who these guys are. All they do is grunt and stuff and when they're off stage, but when they're playing, there's nothing on the website with any of their names and stuff. Like, I think they're all, like, legit you know, performers and other bands and all this stuff. They just do this for fun, and they don't want to be bothered about anything else they do and stuff. So, but yeah, if you go on the website, it's all like, you know, that these guys are back from the dead, from, you know, whatever. And
I love theatrical stuff.
Yeah.
With the, anything on with the backstory or, you know, stage shows and all that stuff is just awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're a whole lot of fun. But yeah, like, so yeah, you guys could totally do sell out and do that.
Oh, I'm into it. Yeah. I mean,
we've tried. I've been trying so hard to get these guys into a theme. We've got finally got Power Rangers.
Yeah.
We got a Power Rangers theme. Then we got a blues theme. We'll get more.
Yeah.
More. Cool animal name theme.
Sweet animal names. Yeah, that's what we need.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I did get. I threw your picture up here on online and asked. If anybody has some questions for you.
Oh, from our last show that we played with the face paint on?
No, this was just on my Facebook page.
Okay.
When I was talking about you guys coming on the show, and a young man named Jeff Allen writes in.
I hate that guy.
Yeah. Jeff said he wanted to know, ask them each of their favorite Backstreet Boys.
Oh, nice.
NSYNC! Backstreet Boys suck!
Blackstreet all the way is what I say.
Isn't...
Favorite Backstreet...
Is Nick Carter a Backstreet Boy?
No, that's... Wait.
Yeah.
See, I always get
Since he's
up.
Related to Aaron Carter, I'm going to say that guy. Because Aaron Carter's hilarious.
Backstreet Boys. Which one was the one that wanted to go to space? Or was that NSYNC?
I think you're thinking of Xenon.
No, Lance...
Xenon, the girl of the 21st century. The
Warrior Princess?
Xena Warrior Princess? Xenon's a hair cutting place by.
No, Xena is the Warrior Princess. Xenon. Xenon, the Disney Channel original movie.
No, what, is Lance Bass and Backstreet Boys are in sync?
Lance is in sync.
Oh, because he wanted to go to space. That's pretty cool. Backstreet Boys. With the one with the goatee.
Yeah, he did this. He's supposed to be the badass.
The one that's a boy.
Howdy?
I literally only.
See, I don't
I'm
know.
Impressed with myself that I knew Nick Carter was in there. That's all I'm gonna say. So him,
dude. I don't know anything about the back. I know they had
those
Backstreet's back. All right.
There's
I feel bad. I don't know how to answer that.
There's Nick, Brian. Kevin. Yeah, I think Howie. And, I don't know.
Jonas. One of the Jonas Brothers.
I'm surprised I already know that. Like, that's all that's up here, though. Pop culture, trivia, song lyrics, movie quotes.
Yeah, that's pretty good. See, I would probably have known this a while ago, but was I talking to you guys and we were getting NSYNC? Maybe it was someone else, but we're getting NSYNC people mixed up with Backstreet Boys people. NSYNC, it probably would have been easier because you could just be like, oh, Justin Timberlake or whatever.
Right.
That's the only NSYNC member I think I could name, too. I know one on each.
Yeah. Brian? Is there a Brian?
We're all forgetting about the greatest boy band that ever existed, and that is 98 Degrees. Because that brought us Nick Lachey, which brought us the Who Married Jessica Simpson. And brought us, what was the name of their idiot show?
Newlyweds?
Yeah, or something like that. She's like, he wants her to eat buffalo wings. I don't eat buffalo. I love that show.
That was with the whole chicken of the sea.
Yeah. Turkey of the dirt.
Oh, yeah, it's like, how chicken, I remember that.
I love that show.
I had something to say and I just forgot it, so it's kind of like,
Jeff also writes in and he wanted to know why is Sean Kenny so damn handsome?
He gets it from his mama.
Oh, he runs now in the morning to stay healthy.
Yeah, I run.
And he cut back on the day drinking.
Yeah, I cut back on day drinking, yeah. I tried to cut back on the drinking.
That's hard to do. Exercising sucks, but so hands to you on that. Yeah.
And he has a healthy diet of coffee and beef jerky.
Yeah.
Beef jerky.
Yeah, I always have coffee. I try to cut back on the drinking.
Someone's got to be the pretty one.
Yeah, I'm the pretty one. This is where you know you're in trouble when I'm the pretty one.
Yeah. We put our faces, actual faces, on the front of this one, so
yeah,
gonna sell right out.
We did it in black and white though to make sure.
Look better, yeah.
Yeah, because black and white blurs my jawline, so I look really fat.
Nice.
We know our faces sell albums though.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's what people say, like on YouTube. If you ever notice, like the big YouTube channels, all their video thumbnails will have, like, you know, the person's face because it makes it more personable. Like big up in there, so apparently that helps sell things if it's like someone's face is like on it. It helps people relate to it or something subliminally.
So Kenny's face.
Yeah,
we should put Kenny's face out.
Next time we should just be our faces. Like that's it.
Yeah,
real close.
On the third record, third time's the charm.
It'll be called Just Face It.
Just Face It.
What's that Queen, like their record where they had the black with just the white on the lights on their faces?
Yeah.
And stuff, and
yeah.
Yeah, you could just do that. Just do something like that. Yeah. Do the Queen cover.
That'd be funny.
Just verbatim.
Yeah, right.
I have a bunch of Cooley Loaches in the fourth one or something like that. Or three faces in the other.
Well, we can drop some tunes in here for people to get a little taste of the new record and get them excited about coming out December 10th.
Yeah, that'd be cool to see some people there, and we'll do our best to go crazy.
We won't get hammered this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I promise I won't get hammered this time.
I don't know if I can make that promise.
our first CD release show was a disaster. Was almost a disaster.
Oh my god, no. It was legendary. It was so fun.
Dude, it was a drunk fest.
I legitimately, I think still to this day, have only maybe dropped one or two drumsticks, if you're not counting the first CD release show. CD release show, I dropped like six drumsticks in the first song. It was so good.
Dude, we were... Well, freaking Cody Mathis from... shout out to a dude who books us all the time down at Foo Bar, which is kind of like home in a way. But he, that night, I walk in and I asked him what the drink special for the band was. He's like, oh, dude, we got this black IPA that has like a 5% alcohol content in it. And I hadn't eaten dinner, and I was just slamming these things.
And he gets on stage.
Totally like, yeah, and ball. So before we go on stage, I'm like, like, it's our turn to play, and I'm like, whoa, I need some caffeine. And I go out to my car, and I get, like, a red line or something. Just I had some crazy amount of caffeine in it. And I just slam it. And now I'm wired, hammered, and I'm on stage with a microphone.
And he's like,
man,
it's okay to cry.
This is where Kenny has made one of his best impressions on us. He puts his bass down, and he goes, this next song, it's really sad, and it is okay to cry. And he just kept shouting it,
and
exactly,
like
it was the best moment.
Like we're both like me and Sean are just screaming.
And
Zach is in the corner, like, guys, can we just start the next song?
I just keep counting it off. I was like, 1, 2, 3, 4. And
I was like, wait, we gotta talk about crying some more.
I'm like, just start the song, man. And you're, I don't know.
It was wonderful. We promised a great time on the 10th.
Yeah.
We had Cooley's patent.
I don't know with Murphy and the Death Rays and Captain D being there.
It's going to be great.
Those dudes like to party. So,
those are good friends of ours.
But you can go ahead and plug our music now. We kind of ran off them. There for you.
So what, you guys got any requests you want to? I figure we talked about Sunburn pretty good. They'd be a good one to throw in there.
Your boyfriend versus my...
Boyfriend versus Aquarium.
Would be a good one.
And Sunburn?
And Sunburn.
Sure.
Cool.
Yeah. And then, again, if you want to preview the whole thing or buy it digitally, you can go over to thecoolies.bandcamp.com.
Yeah.
And,
you can preview it for free, and if you like it, you can download it.
Yeah. Yep. And then, bring your money to the December 10th show. Grab a physical copy.
Yeah, we have a couple shirts and some free buttons and stuff, too. And there's, like, I think 5 copies left of our first record, if you want to snag that.
Yeah.
That's for free online, though, if you want to pick that up on the Bandcamp, too.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Well, cool, guys. And again, follow them on Facebook and Instagram now, right?
We'll do our best to post on Instagram. It's new.
Yeah.
So follow us on Instagram and then post suggestions of how we can, like, do better on Instagram.
Also, instructions on how to hashtag.
Yeah,
that would be good too.
Yeah, we need to figure this out before people forget about us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should Instagram this.
Yeah.
And we could.
I will.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll hashtag us. We'll copy paste.
Yeah.
That I can do.
All right. Well, thank you so much, guys. This has been a lot of fun. Oh,
thanks for coming in.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Yeah.
This is cool. You should do it again.
Yeah. All right. Third record comes out next year.
Yeah.
You guys, we're going to be in Hollywood then.
That's true.
Yeah. When we're announcing that we're headlining Warped Tour.
That'd be tight.
It's us and Broken Side. Yeah. The Lamb of God.
The Coolies, Lamb of God, and Katy Perry World Tour.
Dude, that shit would sell.
Yeah. All right. See you guys.
Bye.
See
ya.
Bye.
Dreams, and I can't seem to get it right. Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.